flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ashamed to admit that I actually got these pants from my mom at Christmas. And she just texted me and she said, yeah, I think I did accidentally get you low rise. I am a 34-year-old man, and yes, my mother did buy the jeans. Love you, Mom. Art Rooney II spoke to a select group of Pittsburgh Steelers media yesterday. Our very own Jeff Hathorn was there. He'll join us at 7 o'clock today. Jeff cut the whole thing up. Jeff, the real MVP. Art Rooney II, though, talking about what they learned from the Kenny Pickett situation. That is my biggest takeaway.
You know, I think that obviously it's disappointing that that Kenny didn't work out to be our long-term quarterback here. And, you know, I'm not sure there's a lot to be learned from that. You know, we just have to look at the next opportunity and make sure we do a good job evaluating it, you know, the next time around.
I'm not a philosopher. Sometimes I play one on the radio. But if you're not learning from your mistakes, then you're stained by your mistakes. And when I peed on the floor at Mark Caboli's Airbnb before a training camp broadcast a couple of years ago, I vowed never to drink 2 pints of whiskey again. You have to learn from your mistakes. The Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett 20th overall in one of the worst quarterback drafts in recent memory. Fast forward to 2025, friends. Kenny Pickett going to the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He quit on this team, far as I'm concerned. It clearly didn't work out. But we are entering a draft that has no quarterbacks that would have been drafted in the first round last year. You don't have to take my word for it. The director of the Senior Bowl said so much yesterday. He said that none of the quarterbacks in the 2025 draft would have cracked the top 6 quarterbacks last year. Last year, just as a refresher, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix were all drafted. Each of them, with really the exception of Michael Penix, all had success this year. J.J. McCarthy, he doesn't count because he was hurt. So none of these quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders included, would have fit in the last year's top 6? This is a horrendous quarterback draft. The Steelers, by the way, aren't even going to have a chance to draft either of the top two guys. Cam Ward is going to go early. Shedeur Sanders is going to go early. And Art Rooney II is here and telling you they didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett draft. That's the biggest takeaway, because all of a sudden, I think they could draft a quarterback in the first round this year. Did you not hear the same thing at 412-928-9370? He did throw a caveat in there later on in the press conference when he said he expects to probably take a quarterback in this draft or next draft. Next draft being the operative portion of that sentence. I hope it's next year. Next year is going to be a good quarterback draft. This year's quarterback draft is poopy. But it was poopy in 2022, and they took a quarterback anyhow. Why? Because you had a need, and sometimes when you got a need, you become desperate. They were desperate for a quarterback. They took one who wasn't going to go in the first round, and it cost them 2 years. He says he hasn't learned anything, which leads me to believe they could be taking a quarterback 21st overall this year. That would be a horrendous mistake. But it's not just that they drafted Kenny in the first round and shouldn't have. It's also what they did with Kenny once they did draft him. They should have learned never draft out of desperation. They should also have learned, Art, that you need to handle a rookie quarterback better when you do draft one. They never gave Kenny Pickett an opportunity to compete for that job before the season. They said they did, but it was Mitch Trubisky is the one. He was always going to be the one. Guys like Mark Caboli, who we trust, were at Steelers training camp every day watching practice. He said Mason Rudolph was the best of the three quarterbacks. So Mason was the best. Mitch was the presumed starter. And Kenny, it took until weeks into camp before he got the first team reps. Then he's the backup quarterback entering the season. Trubisky stinks, but Kenny had not gotten any first team reps, and they thrust him in the middle of a game that you really had to win against the New York Jets. What happens? Kenny throws three picks. Because he hadn't taken any snaps with the ones. He wasn't mentally prepared to be the Steelers' starting quarterback that day. Not more than any other backup quarterback. Problem is, he was a rookie backup quarterback. They should never have drafted Kenny in the first round. Then once they did, they thrust him in a bad spot. Next week you go on the road, it's Buffalo. A Super Bowl favorite. One of the toughest places to play in the NFL. He and they got destroyed. You want to talk about baptism by fire? That was it. Next game, Philadelphia. We know about them. You want to talk about baptism by fire? That was it. Again on the road against one of the toughest places to play in the entirety of the NFL. After the bye, the Steelers started to run the football more effectively, but they minimized Kenny Pickett's effect on the game. Kenny, don't turn it over. Hand the ball off. And then on a key third down, or hell, maybe in the fourth quarter, we'll take the diaper off a little bit. When we really need to throw, you can throw, but no, not before then. So they drafted the wrong guy at the wrong time in a bad draft. They didn't set him up to succeed early by thrusting him in there in the middle of a game when he hadn't got first team reps. Then they sent him on the road for two tough games, and that's an understatement. And then after the bye, they said, oh, whoa, hell with development. You need to not turn it over. And that's how we're going to win football games. As if winning football games that year mattered. It didn't. The most important thing that could have come out of Kenny Pickett's rookie year was finding out what he can do. But you can't find out what someone can do if they're in timeout. They treated him like a kid. And yeah, he wore kid gloves, tiny hands, ha-ha. I'm not here to tell you Kenny Pickett would have worked out. If they had Kenny throw the ball 35, 40 times a game, 45, 50 times here and there, doesn't mean he all of a sudden would have turned into Joe Montana. But that season should have been about quarterback development. Instead, it was, how can we hide the rookie quarterback to win as many games as possible? That's not how you develop a quarterback. Oh, and by the way, the offensive coordinator the entire time was none other than Matt Canada. Hey, let's get this developmental quarterback who's probably a third or a fourth round pick. Let's take him in the first round and let's have him learn under the tutelage of a guy who hadn't coordinated a good offense since 2016 in college. And Art Rooney II yesterday said they haven't learned anything from the Kenny Pickett situation. There's nothing more important in sports than the quarterback. Nothing. Not goalie in hockey. The most important position in sports, the Steelers, didn't learn anything from the last time they drafted one in the first round. I cannot believe that is something that they believe. I cannot believe that is something that the owner and president of the team said on record. And it worries me greatly that if they do find the right guy, they're going to screw that up too. I mean, I have concerns that they're even going to find the right guy. Based on his comments yesterday, I could see them drafting someone in the first round this year. But let's say they wait until next year and they get that right guy in a quarterback-rich draft. I have no faith that they're going to do right by him. No faith that they're going to develop him. No faith that that guy ever reaches his potential. Why? Because they screwed it up with Kenny, and they say they've learned nothing. There's a lot to take from what Art Rooney II said yesterday. Nothing more important than that. You want to play in championship weekend, you need a quarterback. Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. You want to play in the final eight? You need a quarterback. And this franchise has no idea what they're doing at quarterback. So you like purgatory? Here we are, and here we shall remain. Good morning, 412-928-9370. Was that your big takeaway, that they have no earthly idea what they're doing at the quarterback position? That was mine, 412-928-9370, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Coming up next, you can weigh in on that. And there's a disconnect between the owner and head coach, it sounds like, when it comes to what they're looking for in a quarterback. Art Rooney II said they didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett fiasco and that they just need to evaluate better the next time around. I think that is really bad. And that is my number one takeaway from Art Rooney II's press conference yesterday. What was yours? 412-928-9370. People on the text line continuing to make fun of the jeans that I am wearing because my mom bought them for me and because they are low rise. Someone texts in Crowley wearing MILF brand jeans, showing off the goods. Texter, Crowley has the apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. Texter, you got Mickey Mouse on the pocket. All right, everybody. Enough with the jeans texts. But if you want to pile on, you can. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Not only did Art say you're not going to learn from your Kenny Pickett mistake, he's also, I think, at a place where there's a disconnect between him and Mike Tomlin on which quarterback should be the bridge guy. It sounds to me that Art Rooney II prefers Russell Wilson to Justin Fields.
No, it hasn't changed. I think, you know, your quarterback has to be able to, you know, read the defense and get the team in a play that is good against the defense he's looking at. And I think no matter whether he's mobile or not, you know, that's got to be what you start with.
Does that not sound more like Russ? Russ is the guy that's going to get you in the right play. Russ is the guy that has the freedom at the line of scrimmage. The veteran, go through your progressions. Justin Fields can get there, I think. But that's not Justin Fields' strength. And they wouldn't even let him do that last year in Pittsburgh. Justin Fields is a hell of an athlete. And that's what he brings to the table. He's got arm strength for days. And he's a super athlete. But Art Rooney II, in that answer, prefers the field surveyor, the field general, the guy who's going to be gesticulating at the line of scrimmage. Meanwhile, Mike Tomlin, at his end of the season press conference, was asked about quarterback mobility.
Very, but that's not a new discussion. I've expressed that in this setting and settings like these for years. The X factor that quarterback mobility is in our game and how it's trending and been trending, that is not a new discussion.
So Mike Tomlin likes mobile quarterbacks, and that's because he doesn't know how to defend mobile quarterbacks. I mean, he had for a while against Lamar. Well, that's jumped the shark. Last two times, Lamar and the Ravens have run roughshod over the Steelers. And it's not just the running quarterbacks. It's guys like Joe Burrow who can move around in the pocket, who step up in the pocket. And Mike Tomlin referenced that on Hard Knocks, and we saw it in the two games the Steelers played the Bengals this year. When he breaks contain, when he steps up, they've had no answers. So Mike Tomlin values a mobile quarterback. Art Rooney II values a field general. There's a disconnect there, folks. You know, I've always kind of felt like Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin are in lockstep and they see things the same way. And I think overall philosophy they do. It does not sound like they view it that way with quarterback. Why do I have any faith? Why should anybody have any faith that they know what they're going to do here? That they can fix the most important position in sports? Art Rooney II says, we didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett situation, and now he and the coach don't see eye to eye on what attributes are most valuable for a quarterback. They're going to screw this up. They've been screwing it up. And if you want a seat at the table, if you want to be a part of the Final Four, you need a quarterback. Not breaking any news there. It's how you've won in the NFL forever. And I have no faith that they're going to get it right. Mike Tomlin says mobility is the most important thing. Art Rooney II says being a field general is the most important thing. Who is right? I actually think it's Tomlin. When I look at the quarterbacks that got their teams closest to the promised land or into the Super Bowl, we're looking at guys who could do it with their arms and their legs. Lamar Jackson, number one in the NFL in total touchdowns. Josh Allen, second in the NFL in total touchdowns. Fifth in the NFL in total touchdowns was Jalen Hurts. Seventh was Jaden Daniels. And 10th, Patrick Mahomes. Of those five guys, there's really one that fits the description that Art Rooney II had, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Well, we know those guys don't grow on trees. He's number one or number two all time. It's either Tom Brady or that guy. That's how good he is. Out of all those five mentioned, he's the one that will eat you to death from the pocket. But Lamar, he's going to run, and he can beat you from the pocket. Josh Allen, going to run, and he can beat you from the pocket. Hurts does a lot of his damage on the move. Jaden Daniels is good from the pocket, but he does it on the run. If you're going to win and win big in 2025, those are the kind of guys that you need to get. That's the quarterback that's going to get it done. So I actually agree with Mike Tomlin, mobility number one. More even than being that field general. Now, ideally, you get some combination of both. But that they're not seeing eye to eye, that Art Rooney II says, oh, we've learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett situation, gives me zero faith that they know what they're doing at that position. Did you hear it the same way? 412-928-9370. Would love to talk this out with you on the phone lines. 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You also look at how they butchered the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era, and that doesn't give you faith either. They drafted Mason Rudolph. They could have had Lamar Jackson. They were afraid of uncomfortable moments. They wanted to give Ben the best opportunity to win late, so they didn't take Lamar. They didn't want there to be awkwardness like there was with Ben and Mason. But they themselves have said that they had a first-round grade on Mason, then didn't give the guy a quarterback coach. And then you think about 2019, when you've got Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, and Mike Tomlin's toggling between both guys with zero rhythm, zero flow, zero rhyme or reason. They also brought Mitch Trubisky in to be the starting quarterback and the bridge guy to Kenny Pickett. And that guy sucks out loud. They have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. I'll tell you what I do coming up next. But if you're a Steelers fan and you've watched this team now since the last few years of Ben Roethlisberger's tenure, you can't possibly see it different than I do. They have no idea what they're doing at that position. And then Art rubber stamped that yesterday by saying they didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett deal. I'm as down as I've been in a long time about this franchise. How do the comments make you feel? 412-928-9370. And again, I'll tell you what I'd do at quarterback coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, you know, we had a winning record. You know, he handled the situation, I think, you know, as a young quarterback who wants to come in and learn and grow, and I think he did grow, and I think he does have that mindset that he wants to get better. So I think that, you know, that makes you feel like, you know, you want to potentially work with him again in the future.
Damn, that was like a 3-star Yelp review. Did you hear it the same way, Callis? That was Art Rooney II yesterday with the assembled media. Thanks to Jeff Hathorn for being there for us and for doing a great job cutting it up and asking great questions. It sounded to be, Justin, you know, we had a winning record. You know, he's committed to growing. Things are okay.
Most of his answers sounded very
muted.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does sound kind of defeated. Not that he is ever this charismatic guy, this like commanding presence.
It just feels like nobody wants to be there. It's like, you know, I mean, you have questions you want to answer.
I think he knows where they are.
Yeah.
I think he understands that they are mediocre.
Yeah.
And until you find a quarterback, you're probably going to continue being mediocre, and they have no idea how to find that quarterback. And so what I heard in that answer is he can't even muster up like fake excitement for Justin Fields.
No.
And I go to the text line at 412-928-9370 where someone writes in, "Your pants are on too tight. If Fields hasn't done it by now, he never will." That's probably true. I'm not going to sit here and into this microphone talk to the masses and tell you that Justin Fields is definitely the answer. It is far more likely that Justin Fields is a career backup and a guy that gets a few opportunities as a bridge starter because he's talented. That's the most likely career path now for Justin Fields. But I still believe he's going to be cheaper than Russell Wilson will be. And even though I don't think he's going to be a franchise quarterback, I think there's at least, based on his talent, a chance he could be. You need to build this roster up around whomever the franchise quarterback's going to be. And so how do you do that? You get the cheap one with upside. Justin Fields cheaper than Russ, has a lot more upside than Russ, is 10 years Russ's junior. It wouldn't make sense to bring Russell Wilson back. And all the reporting on this has been that the Steelers are more interested in bringing Justin back than Russell Wilson, but that's not how I heard it from Art Rooney II yesterday. Now, he said he would prefer one of those guys be back. Unlikely that they're both going to be back because both want to be starters in this league. Said he thinks they're both starter capable. It's going to be one, not the other. I would prefer Fields. Sounds like Art would prefer Russ. Sounds like Tomlin would prefer Fields. Again, leading me to believe they have no idea what they're doing here. Doran yesterday argued eloquently that Justin Fields would be doing exactly what Jalen Hurts is doing in Philadelphia if he were their starting quarterback. I think a lot of quarterbacks could go to Philly and win. I would put Justin Fields, yeah, in that category. With A.J. Brown, with Devonta Smith, with Saquon Barkley, with that offensive line, with that cheap yet super effective defense, yeah, I think Justin Fields may well have navigated Philadelphia through the NFC. The Steelers do not have that structure here. The Steelers are in no way in the same stratosphere as the Philadelphia Eagles, but you need to build up to that. You need to have a nice little nest for your franchise quarterback to land in. My plan's a simple one. I know Art said they learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett situation, leading me to believe they could reach for one in the first round of a bad quarterback draft this year. Me, I'm bringing in Justin Fields. I'm signing him to a two-year, $22 million-ish deal. 11 a season, that was the PFF projection. He's my quarterback this year. I don't even evaluate a damn quarterback in this draft. And I take one next year when the draft is in Pittsburgh in what is a much richer quarterback draft in terms of talent. If Justin plays his nuts off this year and you win a bunch of games and he shows that he can be a franchise quarterback, great. If he doesn't, $11 million is the going rate for a decent to good backup quarterback. He could be your backup quarterback next year with a rookie as your starter. But if you're only paying your quarterback $11 million and you've got $40 million in cap space right now, which could turn into $60 million real quick, you got a lot of room to build up around that guy. That's what they should do. I'm not sure that's what they will do. 412-928-9370. Jeff in Morgantown, good morning.
Hey, Jeff. You just hit it on the head. They got to use Fields this year, and if he's good, he's good. If he's not, maybe they'll suck, and they can get a good quarterback next year. But there ain't nothing out there this year. You know that.
And that's exactly right, Jeff, because anytime I say the Steelers should bring back Justin Fields, I get inundated with text messages, get inundated with calls saying Justin Fields isn't the answer. He probably isn't, but you have to look around. This is a horrific draft. It's a terrible draft.
He might not be the answer. He probably isn't the answer, but maybe by an act of God, he could be, but if not, if they stink enough, they can get one next year.
That's right, Jeff. And
they can't pick one this year.
No.
They cannot pick one this year.
Did you hear Art Rooney II's comments yesterday where he said they learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett situation? It scares me.
Kenny Pickett.
It scares me, Jeff, that they might take one this year anyhow out of desperation, and thank you for the call. I think Jeff crushed that. Justin Fields isn't an ideal option, but he's the best option. And I would rather settle with him for a year than be desperate in reach for a first-round quarterback this year. Sam Darnold doesn't make any sense. He's going to be more expensive. He's not mobile. He turned into a pumpkin, I thought, his last two games this year, where he was seeing ghosts again, got sacked a bunch. That guy shouldn't even be a flicker of a thought in Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin's mind. Kirk Cousins, he's a poor man's Russell Wilson now. They're both old. He's less mobile. Pass. Joe Flacco, not mobile, and clearly a backup. The Vikings aren't going to trade J.J. McCarthy. You could maybe get Joe Milton from the Patriots. He's not the answer. You want to talk about a project? That guy's a project, and you don't have a staff in place that's going to develop a project. There are no options at quarterback beyond Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And to me, there's a clear number one, and that's Justin Fields. Here's a text that I agree with big time. Fields could be the answer if they don't handcuff him and let him play. You have to find out. They were so desperate just to win football games the last few years, they haven't let their quarterback spread their wings, and then you're left wondering. Kenny Pickett probably doesn't wind up being a 10, 12, 15-year starter in the NFL if they let him spread his wings, but at least you'd have known. Winning be damned, find out about the quarterback, because when you win big, it's because of the quarterback. Justin Fields this year. Oh, geez, let's treat him with kid gloves through six games because we got to win. No, let him spread his wings, see what he got. So if they do bring Justin back this year, they need to do that. 412-928-9370. You can chime in on Twitter at underscore Adam Crowley as well. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We've all heard enough from Art Rooney II over the years to be able to speak his language. There was a big-time shot across the bow at someone yesterday in his news conference. We'll play it for you. We'll react to that coming up next. Jeff Hathorn, who was there for us at 93.7 The Fan, he'll be with us today at 7 o'clock. 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jeff Hathorn, who was in on that Art Rooney II press conference, he's going to join us at the top of the hour. Art fired a shot, I thought, across the bow at somebody yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute, but a couple of really good texts that I want to get to at 412-928-9370. You just said Justin Fields was nothing more than a bridge quarterback or a career backup, but now you just said that if you went to Philly with the structure and the players, that he could be successful. So why can't he do the same thing in Pittsburgh? I think that's a fair text. They're so far away from being Philly that he probably won't have enough success in the interim to merit being the guy, if that makes sense. Like, if the Steelers had all that Philly had right now, then Justin Fields, I think, would win a lot of football games and probably playoff games. That's how good that roster is. And that's how much talent that Fields has. But you ain't becoming Philly overnight. So even if you let Justin Fields do what Justin Fields can this year, for better or worse, and then even next year, I don't think he's going to be able to do enough because you're just not good enough either. And so it'll be tough to sell it to the masses, to the fan base, oh, this is our guy, because you're just not good enough. 412-928-9370. Another text here. You got to build a great roster this draft without reaching for a quarterback. With you 100%. One more text. Without reaching, the Steelers need to take a quarterback every year in the draft until they find their next franchise quarterback. You never know when your lottery ticket will hit. If you don't have a quarterback, nothing else matters. Well, I agree with the last point. Yeah, if you don't have a great quarterback, nothing else matters. But I'm not going to draft one every year, because it hurts your ability to accrue talent elsewhere, and you're going to feel committed to a guy. Like, if you draft, let's just say, pick a name out of a hat, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart this year in the second round, at the first sign of trouble with Justin Fields, if it's Justin, next year, you're probably going to turn to that guy, and then you're going to want to give him time. Now, they did move off Kenny quickly. That was the one thing they did well that entire process. Okay, 2 years didn't work. You didn't want to be here, so you move on, right? But 2 years is still 2 years. So if you draft Jalen Milroe or Jackson Dart, you might think, okay, we're throwing darts. Okay, we're going to take one every year till we find one. Well, you're going to let Milroe suck for a year or two to try to figure it out. And then you draft another guy. You might reach on another guy. You're going to try him out. No, no, no. You need this year to beef the roster up through free agency, because you got a ton of cap space through the draft. Don't even think about quarterback. And then next year, if there's one you love, you go up and get him. And then you commit to that guy. This team ain't going to figure it out with a project. You need as close to a sure thing as possible. I know that those don't exist, sure things in the NFL draft. Believe me. But you need as close to one as possible, because I just don't trust their developmental process. Jeff Hathorn's going to join us next. Art Rooney II was asked about his brother Jim Rooney's comments about the Steelers being better than the mean for the last 25 years.
You know, Jim speaks for himself, and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Callis, did you hear that like I did? I'm happy that he's having success selling his book. Sounds like a little passive aggressiveness there.
Yep.
You know, Jim speaks for himself, and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Oh, I'm happy just doing good selling his book.
That's uncomfortable.
That's very uncomfortable. I'm guessing that there's a little ice now in that relationship between those two. Just purely speculating, but we've heard these Art Rooney II comments year after year after year. I've been in the business here in Pittsburgh for 12 years. The bat signal goes up. The media goes in. They talk to Art. We hear the comments. You feel like you know what he's saying. He might say one thing. You can read the subtext. That one was, I'm happy he's selling his books. The subtext was, oh, F off, bro. You put me in an awful position, bro.
So Cabola was talking about this yesterday, assumed maybe that it was strategic that they had him do that, and then after that answer, you just, no, he seemed upset.
I don't think it was strategic. I think it just sort of happened. I don't think Art should be all that mad about it now, because his comments, while I had a lot of problems with what he said yesterday, as we've detailed already and will continue to do this morning, it ain't nothing compared to what his brother said. Like, if Art Rooney II came out and said what his brother said, there'd be torches, pitchforks in the streets right now.
I just don't see that holding us back. I don't think that's our problem.
Art Rooney II there saying the size of the staff, not their problem, not what's holding them back. My biggest takeaway is that Art Rooney II said he learned nothing, they learned nothing, from the way the Kenny Pickett situation went. I find that hard to believe. I hope they've learned something. Are they going to draft a quarterback 21st overall in a bad quarterback draft? All right, we're joined now on the fan hotline by Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. He was in there yesterday with Art Rooney II. We are playing all the audio thanks to that man. And the hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning, Adam. Listen, I actually looked through some mock drafts yesterday. And there were two, like, actual credible people that do mock drafts. One had the Steelers taking Quinn Ewers in the first round, and the other had them taking Will Howard. You're free to vomit now, if that's the case.
Yeah, we're going to have to get engineering on the phone here, because they're going to have to clean the vomit out of the keyboard, and I might bash my head into the computer screen here. And that's not to say that I don't like those players and wouldn't be open to it later on in the draft, but Kenny Pickett never should have been the 20th overall pick, and no quarterback should be the 21st overall pick this year. The director of the Senior Bowl yesterday, Jeff, said that none of the quarterbacks in this draft would have cracked the top six quarterbacks last year. So that was my biggest takeaway. What was your biggest takeaway?
I would say from the positive that there is a understanding, and Art brought it up numerous times, even when he wasn't asked directly about it, about the need to find a quarterback. I mean, it seems obvious, but sometimes you could fool yourself into saying, well, you know, we've got the other pieces and we can do the. I think they realize they're not going anywhere without a quarterback. That's a good thing. And what they do now is the key. I mean, Art at one point said, talk is cheap, and you know, you got to speak with your actions, or actions speak louder than words. He's absolutely right about that. But I think they understand that their top priority is getting a quarterback. There were a couple other good things that I thought he said, but to me, that they have that realization, and they're not fooling themselves into thinking they can short-term it, because he said age was important in this decision. And that also they didn't want to do a 1 year. Like, they're looking for a solution, not like a bridge year gap that they could get in the playoffs. And then maybe if they get in, they could have a run, which it seems like it's been that way the last few years.
Jeff was in the room yesterday during Art Rooney II's press conference. One thing that I took as a positive too, Jeff, we don't want to just be all negative here. I didn't hear excuses from Art. And maybe that's because Jim Rooney made enough excuses for the entire family last week.
I hope he's doing well selling his book.
Yeah, that was a shot across the bow, I thought. But I really believed that Art would say, we played three games in 11 days. We played them against really good teams, including two that are going to meet in the Super Bowl. He actually used that and said, we're further away. Or not even right. further away, but we're not close to those teams. So I do feel like that was at least a little bit refreshing.
Yeah, and I think fans, and understandably, kind of want him to turn into Mark Cuban and pound his fist into the table and be extremely dynamic speaker. That's not Art. I mean, it's just not him. He's not a table pounder. He's not a guy that's going to raise his voice and scream and yell. It's just not the way he is. I would agree with you. I mean, it's positive they want to, you know, extend TJ Watt. It's positive that they want to look at defensive line help for the coming year, and that he realizes they have to spend money on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, all of those, I'm sure we'll talk about some negatives, but yeah, I mean, those were all positive. Now, all that talk is great. What are you going to do about it this offseason?
Right. And while he did say that they would like to ideally spend money in offense, he said not at the expense of the defense. Right. And I do think when you're looking for a quarterback, then the blueprint, the template obviously should be the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that's why Andy Weidel was brought in. You want to build up a great roster so that you can plug a quarterback in and win a lot of games. When he talks about not at the expense of the defense, I looked at Philly, Jeff. Four of their top five highest paid players are on offense. Six of their top 10 highest paid players are on offense. Meanwhile, the Steelers, their top six cap hits all on defense. Eight of their 10 biggest cap hits are all on defense. I'd like to see that balance out, Jeff.
Yeah, that was a point that kind of concerned me, is when he brought up, you know, said, hey, look at the Super Bowl. You got two diverse teams. And granted, Philly's coming off seven rushing touchdowns, and they had those huge turnovers on defense. Yes, all of that happened against Washington. That is true. But Philly is more than just a rush game. I mean, Philly has a better offensive line. They have a world-class running back, not an average running back. So you do accent Saquon. But Saquon doesn't run like that unless you've got two all-pro type receivers and a quarterback that can get the ball downfield. And oh, by the way, three of those seven rushing touchdowns were by the quarterback. So, yes, they do run it, and you do want it when you're playing in the north and playing outside. You want to have a run game, and even Kansas City used a run game to close it. I get it. You don't want to throw it 90% of the time, but they've got to change. I don't like that. I wish you would have said, we've got to update our philosophy. Like, we can't just be this ground team. You can have it as part of your offense. He did mention balance, but they've got to have more of that. I want to see more aggression from that offense. I wish I would have heard that from him yesterday.
Jeff Hathorn with us here on the Fan Morning Show. And then on the flip side, so offensively, want to run the football. And I do agree that you look at the final eight teams, the final four teams, they could all run the football when they needed to and in their own special way. Like, I get it, but you need the quarterback and you need other things around. But then on the defensive side, I said this a couple of weeks ago, Art's going to come out and talk about the importance of run defense because they had 299 dropped on their heads by the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack. But I think to only look at that is not seeing the forest through the trees. The last quarterback in the division to go to a Super Bowl, Joe Burrow, because he throws the ball all over the place. You actually stopped Saquon when you played the Eagles, but Hurts threw for 290 yards, second most he had thrown for all season long. Dak threw for 352. The Colts picked you apart with Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco. Yeah, run defense is important, but if you ain't stopping the quarterback, you ain't winning football games at a high enough level.
Yeah, and you've got to have games. I mean, look at Kansas City's defense carried them for a lot of the beginning of the season. They gave up 29 points on Sunday, but you know what? Their offense scored 32. And, you know, if the Steelers would have given up 23 to the Commanders, they would have lost by four because they only score 19. So as much as defense is important, and I agree with your point, I do think they have to shore up that run defense. Absolutely, they have to. But even when you have a good defense, you're going to get scored upon. If you're only averaging 19 points a game, you're not going anywhere. I mean, it's got to be. Maybe in those situations, strategically, you don't want to say that we're going to spend it all on offense and give, you know, if you're talking to George, you don't want to give him leverage. I understand there's some of those undercurrents that happen from speeches from general managers and team presidents at this time of year. But, man, it's got to be forefront. And, again, I was encouraged that Art mentioned quarterback a number of times and how that they have to change. And one other thing he said that I thought was interesting is that he thought Arthur Smith was hurt by the fact that they had two different styles of quarterback in their top two.
Yeah.
And that they, if they're going to commit to one, say Justin Fields, then you're going to see Marcus Mariota as the backup because they want to have the same type of player. So they're not switching offense mid-season when they switch the quarterback.
A lot of the reporting on a national and a local level has made it seem like the Steelers are more interested in Justin Fields. But when Art Rooney II talked about what he looks for in a quarterback, he talked kind of about that field general. And then when he was asked about Justin specifically, it didn't seem like a ringing endorsement to me. Did you hear those same things?
No, but he did say he was a guy that they could work with. And the age thing kind of really swayed me when he said age is going to be a factor. I mean, Russ is 36 and they want somebody to a longer contract. I mean, could you sign Russ to a long contract? Yes, but I mean, that's not the, I think he kept his options open because you got to remember, Justin has to say yes. I mean, maybe the Raiders are interested in Justin and not Russell. You know, maybe the Giants want to give, I mean, maybe the Browns want to give Justin a run. And what they're going to promise them is better than what the Steelers, I mean, if you're Justin, I don't want to go back to the Steelers and just hand the damn ball off. I want somebody that's going to use my talents, build an offense around me, and let me go out and try to make some plays, not just run this, oh, don't turn it over, this scared offense. So, you know, they've got to have a plan B. If as crazy as this sounds, because there was very little interest in him last year, Justin says, nah, I'm going to try somewhere else.
Yeah, and I do think that the six-game sample size from Justin Fields, while it didn't probably blow anybody away, he did cut down on the things that were the biggest knocks against him. I mean, there were some snap issues, no doubt about it, but he didn't throw a bunch of interceptions. He didn't, to me, look like a reckless quarterback. A couple of the things that I'm sure general managers were afraid of. So I could see him being more highly sought after.
Right. And throughout this postseason, Adam, what have we seen from quarterbacks? Them using their legs. I mean, running a lot. And, you know, that is the game right now. And Justin is very good at that. Now, does he have to improve his throwing and his accuracy? Absolutely. Can he do it? I don't know. But there might be more than just the Steelers intrigued to say, you know, I think we could figure something out with him.
Jeff, awesome, man. Great job yesterday. Appreciate you hopping on today, and we'll talk on Thursday.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. Jeff Hathorn. No Doran today. Jeff's the MVP of the show because it's pretty much me hosting alongside Art Rooney II, and we have that because Jeff was in there and asking the good questions. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. I want to react to what Jeff had to say coming up next, particularly with what he thought Art meant by the quarterback position. During the last sports update, Nicholas Arikalos referred to the Utah Hockey Club as the Utah Jazz Club.
Not good.
I would like the Penguins' chances tonight if they played the Utah Jazz in a hockey contest.
You know,
might be the only way they could get 2 points the way they're playing is if they played a basketball team.
On a 3-game losing streak, the Penguins are. Do you remember what my worst headline mess up was?
Oh, there's so many to pick from, bud.
I have one in mind. Do you remember?
No.
Remember when I called the Chicago Cubs? I put an M where the B should be.
The Chicago Mubs?
An M where the B should be. Remember that?
Now I do. I'm sure we've deleted that audio. Stricken it from the record. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Utah Jazz Club. Sounds like a place you might take the wife out on a date. Oh, where are we going tonight? Oh, we're going to go to the Utah Jazz Club. It's a bunch of Mormons hanging out, just listening to jazz. No big deal. Having a blast. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So Jeff joined us in the last segment. Of course, he was in there yesterday with Art Rooney II. And I do think it was encouraging that Art's number one priority is the quarterback position. Like, that they don't just think they'll be okay. It was the first thing he mentioned when he had his opening statement. And then you try to polish the turd, if you will. And he mentioned that he likes the linebackers and kind of the offensive line in the direction of that unit. That was it. So he wasn't making excuses. He wasn't telling us that they're better than they are. And he did focus on the most important position. Problem is, he said he didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett situation. And I think that is appalling. And I hope he's lying. Because if you didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett situation, guess what you're doing this year? You're drafting a quarterback out of pure desperation, 21st overall. The director of the Senior Bowl came out yesterday and said none of the quarterbacks this year would have been drafted in the top six of the quarterbacks last year. So no quarterback is worthy of being drafted 21st overall. But Jeff mentioned he was looking at mock drafts yesterday, because that's what we do now. This is what we've become. We are looking at mock drafts. It is January 28th. The Steelers aren't playing. They haven't played in February since 2010. So it's mock draft time. And he said Will Howard was mocked to the Steelers 21st overall in one of the mocks. And that Quinn Ewers from Texas was mocked to the Steelers 21st overall. If they do that, either one of those guys, we take to the streets with torches and pitchforks. It's a simple offseason for me. You go out, you spend money on a receiver. It's a deep defensive line draft. It's a deep running back draft. You don't have to take one of those positions in the first round. You can get a speedy, impactful running back in like the third or fourth round. You can take a good defensive lineman in the second or third round. First round needs to be a wide receiver. So you spend money on a wide receiver. You draft one in the first round. Abuka from Ohio State is the one that immediately comes to mind. You sign Justin Fields to a one-year, like $15 million deal. And you absolutely punt on quarterback until next year. Because here's what happens if you draft Will Howard, or here's what happens if you draft Quinn Ewers 21st overall. You don't have enough at wide receiver, or you've got George Pickens still hanging around. Not exactly the dude I want hanging out with a first-round quarterback. And you're going to then be committed to that guy for at least 2 years. They only gave Kenny two. They didn't ride out the four. That was like the one positive to come from that whole situation. But if you draft Quinn Ewers 21st overall, you draft Will Howard 21st overall, or Jackson Dart, or Jalen Milrow, you're going to give that guy 2 years. And I don't think those guys are going to pan out. I don't think the infrastructure is there for those guys to pan out. So now you've kicked the can 2 years further down the road, making a repeat mistake. So I love that Art is saying, hey, this thing we all know, quarterback is the number one priority, is the number one priority. I like that. But don't let it cloud your judgment into being desperate and taking a guy 21st overall. Please, dear Lord. It is 7:30. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. We've been going over Art Rooney II's comments all morning long. Coming up at about 7:50, new Art comments. He sat down with our very own Bob Pompeiani for a one-on-one. And a really important question that wasn't asked yesterday in the news conference was asked. And the answer is probably going to tick you off. That's at 7:50. We're going to find out if we're smarter than a plumber coming up next. Wait until you hear what Art Rooney II told Bob Pompiani. It's coming up here shortly. Right now, we try to match wits with Southside Jake of Southside Plumbing and Heating in another edition of soon-to-be award-winning Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? It's just me today, Jake. Your chances of victory have gone up exponentially. What do you got for us? And good morning.
Good morning. What award are we going to win? I do want to know that.
Probably a Marconi, the highest honor radio.
Wow. I didn't know that. I see him. It's going to be 1v1 today. I don't know. Do you want to bring Callis?
Of course. We can bring Callis into this thing.
I'll be right.
Yeah, I mean, it's you embarrassed me last week, so I'm going to come back hard today.
It was the best I've personally ever done. Usually Doran carries us, but I crushed it, and I'm prepared to do it again. What do you got? Let's go.
All right. First one, obviously, same style. Name this player. He was a Steeler. 2007, he amassed 2 rushing touchdowns and 2 receiving TDs in his career.
Oh, man.
2000 Steelers Rookie of the Year. And after the Steelers' career, in 2008, he was a St. Louis Ram. In 2009, a Arizona Cardinal. Who is this player?
Do you think he played against the Steelers in the Super Bowl then? Or would have been after.
He played for the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
Is it Sean Morey? Is that his name?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking, and I think that's my answer, unless Callis has a better guess.
Nope.
If that is not correct, it's Dan Kreider.
Boys.
If the Steelers want to run that ground and pound, they need to find themselves a Dan Kreider. Just saying.
I love Dan Kreider.
All right.
My buddy Nick still wears a Dan Kreider jersey. He's going to be embarrassed by my answer. And it has nacho cheese all over the front that he's never been able to clean off because the jersey's so old that he's afraid that he would ultimately ruin the thing if he washed it. By the way, Sean Morey did play for the Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals. He was mostly a special teams guy, though. So I was barking up the right tree despite my being wrong.
Dan Kreider is definitely a very un-Steeler, in my opinion. I really liked him. I mean, he's 7 years. 7 years is a great career.
He's a great fullback. Tremendous.
I know.
All right, I got to get these next two now to win.
All right. Oh, man. Drafted by the Colts in 1989.
Damn it.
He was the 1993 NFL receiving touchdown co-leader and a Super Bowl champ with the Green Bay Packers in 1996.
Callis, any guess?
Brett Favre.
No. receiving TD co-leader, Callis, you guessed Brett Favre?
That was the fun of it, Jake, because I don't know. I was trying to make everyone laugh.
Now you made me laugh.
There we go. Randy Moss wasn't around back then, right? No, that's too obvious. Anyhow.
No.
Green?
Okay, we'll throw something out there then, guy.
I know, I got problems.
Let's just say his greatest career in 1993, he did play for the Atlanta Falcons. Big time receiver. Underrated receiver.
You can always try to call Doran if you want. I'll just try to ring him up here.
I have no idea. Tell me the answer.
Andre Rison.
Yeah. All right, I lose. Just do the money ball. This was embarrassing. Just do the money ball. Just do the final. You already won. Just do it. Just do it.
All right.
Me looking stupid's good for the ratings. Let's go.
All right. This player played his college ball with the Coastal Carolina. In Coastal Carolina, and he was drafted by the Carolina Panthers. He participated in 2018 Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, that just doesn't.
He was name dropped by Jay-Z in the 2016 single by DJ Khaled, I Got the Keys. Who is it?
Was it Steve Smith?
No, but close. It was Josh Norman.
Get out of here. See you, Jake. 0-3. Disastrous. Doran would have helped.
Here you go, Matt.
Doran with the early 1990s would have been very helpful in this one. Thank you for your time, Jake, and all the best to you in all this right, difficult buddy. Time of weather.
All right, talk to you later.
Tall man. We've never gone 0-for before, I don't think, Callis.
Mm.
And usually Doran comes through with the obscure 1990s wide receivers.
Yep.
And I went 0-for, and I feel bad. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. Wait until you hear what Art Rooney II had to say to Bob Pompeiani. There was a question that was not asked in the press conference yesterday. A lot of ground was covered. This was not. But Bob is a big J journalist, and he asked a big J journalism question. And the answer, I think, probably going to tick you off. Jason Mackey going to join us in about 12 minutes. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Art Rooney II asked yesterday by Brooke Pryor if Mike Tomlin's message is getting stale.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fair to question it after losing five in a row. But, you know, when I talk to the players, you know, I think the players still want to play for Mike. I'm not concerned about his message or that, you know, that kind of an issue.
Did they want to play for Mike in the second half of the Ravens game? Because it looked to me like a bunch of guys were making business decisions out there. Looked the same way to Kirk Herbstreit, by the way. 2024, that's this year. Steelers 0-5, their last five games. 2023, they went 0 for their first three games in December. 2020, they lost four of their last five games. 2019, they lost their last three games. 2018, they started 7-2-1 and lost four out of their final six games. Now, I don't know that that's a buy-in thing necessarily, but it's a lack of adjustment thing from Mike Tomlin and the coaching staff. I dropped my pen. I picked it up. That's why I hear the microphone doing weird stuff like this. However you want to slice it, down the stretch, they're generally worse than they start. And they don't always start good. This is a Tomlin team that now, with different rosters, has faded down the stretch. Is that because the message is stale? Is that a lack of coaching adjustments? Is that a little column A? Is it a little column B? It's a problem. And it's a problem that they don't seem to care all that much about. Then you have what Bob Pompeiani asked Art Rooney II in his one-on-one sit-down. He asked him about the Bears trying to trade for the Steelers head coach. And here's what Art Rooney II had to say about that. Quote, it really didn't go very far. We weren't interested in really pursuing it. And so it was a pretty short conversation. End quote. Not interested in pursuing it. Pretty short conversation. Didn't go very far. That's bad business. Obviously, they have no thoughts at all about wanting to move on from Art Rooney II. From Mike Tomlin. I heard the guys yesterday in the afternoon say that they wouldn't be shocked, and I'm paraphrasing here, but they wouldn't be shocked if this is Mike Tomlin's last contract, and that if things don't go well these next 3 years, then you just wipe your hands clean of Mike Tomlin at the end of the contract. I would be stunned. Art Rooney II has a ton of faith in Mike Tomlin. There are more comments to that end that we'll play for you later on in the show. But I think he's emboldened when a team calls to try to trade for his head coach. He feels like they got the right guy. When other teams around the league want him, they call in and they say, hey, yo, can we have your coach? We'd love to have no losing seasons, but also contend for nothing. They don't even consider it. And that's where the bad business is. Maybe they'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Maybe it's a public relations stunt. Maybe their eyes were always on Ben Johnson, but Ben Johnson knew that there were no other options out there better than him and available. So you call the Steelers about Mike Tomlin to make Ben Johnson's camp think, oh, maybe we're not just a shoe-in, a sure thing. Could be public relations, but maybe it's not. Maybe they really want to trade for your head coach. And if they do, maybe they're willing to move heaven and earth to make it happen. Maybe they're willing to give you a John Gruden early 2000s type deal. A couple of first round picks and a couple of second round picks. Maybe they'll give you a Sean Payton kind of deal. A first round pick and a second round pick. Just because you entertain it, just because you hear them out, doesn't mean you have to make the deal. But I want an organization that is not afraid to turn over every single stone and go to some uncomfortable places to maybe find a solution. Couple of first-round picks, couple of second-round picks sounds pretty good to me. We don't know what the Bears were offering. They don't know what the Bears were offering. It was a short conversation. You need to hear it out. The Penguins are never going to trade Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby doesn't want to be traded. Sidney Crosby has a no-trade clause. But if, let's just say, the Colorado Avalanche called you and said, we're going to give you three first-round picks, a couple of second-round picks, and a couple of prospects, I think you got to hear them out. That's good business. Mike Tomlin's not bigger than the franchise. You can't win without a quarterback. Maybe the best way to get a quarterback is you move on from Mike Tomlin and trade him for a whole bunch of draft picks, and then you use those draft picks to go get a quarterback. And then you hire Ben Johnson to develop that quarterback. Everything needs to be on the table, and my biggest issue with the Steelers is nothing's on the table. We're seeing no substantial staff changes. I'd be shocked if we see any substantial scheme changes. I would be shocked if we see their MO in terms of spending change. Art Rooney II says he doesn't think that the staff size is an issue. Forget turning over every stone. They're not turning over any pebbles. And hey, you don't want to trade Tomlin if you're Art II. I get it. You believe in Mike Tomlin. You need to hear the Bears out. And they didn't. And that disgusts me.